Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Swedish Death Cleaning, The 30-Day Guide to Stress-Free Decluttering. Even if you're emotionally attached to everything by Elsie Nilsson, is a practical self-help and decluttering guide built around the Scandinavian idea of dustening, or Swedish death cleaning. The book presents decluttering not as a harsh purge, but as a careful, emotionally aware process that helps people reduce unnecessary possessions while preserving what is meaningful. Its stated purpose is to make the home easier to live in now and easier for loved ones to manage later. The 30-day framework gives the method structure, but the underlying value is its emphasis on gradual decisions, emotional honesty, and thoughtful curation rather than quick disposal. This places the book within the broader decluttering genre, while distinguishing it through its focus on attachment, legacy, and the human side of letting go. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, dustening as a compassionate decluttering philosophy. The central idea of the book is Swedish death cleaning, a concept rooted in the practice of dustening. Rather than treating decluttering as a productivity challenge or an aesthetic reset, Nilsson frames it as a considerate responsibility toward both the self and other people. The method asks readers to think ahead about what happens to their belongings and to remove unnecessary burden from family members who might otherwise sort through years of accumulated items. That perspective changes the emotional logic of decluttering. It is not only about having less, but about leaving behind less confusion. The book's value lies in translating a cultural practice into an accessible personal method. This makes the concept more than a novelty. It becomes a practical way to align possessions with intention, reduce clutter without denial, and approach the home as something that should reflect current needs rather than past accumulation. Secondly, a 30-day structure that makes decluttering manageable. The book's 30-day format is important because it breaks a difficult task into small, repeatable decisions. Many decluttering books assume readers can sustain large bursts of effort, but Nilsson's approach appears designed to reduce overwhelm by pacing the process. A month-long plan creates a sense of progression without demanding immediate transformation. That matters because clutter is often tied to avoidance, fatigue, and decision paralysis. A structured timeline helps readers begin with manageable categories, build confidence, and maintain momentum. The framework also gives the process a start and end point, which can be psychologically useful for people who feel stuck in endless sorting. In practical terms, the 30-day model turns an abstract goal into a sequence of actions. It is not merely about clearing space quickly. It is about creating a disciplined rhythm that allows emotional adjustment to happen alongside physical organization. Thirdly, working with emotional attachment instead of against it. A defining feature of the book is its recognition that clutter is often emotional, not just practical. The title itself signals that attachment is expected, not treated as a flaw. This is a notable difference from more aggressive minimalism books that focus mainly on discarding. Nilsson's approach appears to accept that objects may carry memory, identity, family history, or a sense of continuity. That makes decision-making more realistic for readers who cannot simply throw things away because they know they should. By acknowledging attachment, the book lowers resistance and encourages more honest sorting. The goal is not emotional suppression, but emotional discrimination, keeping what truly matters and releasing what no longer serves a purpose. This approach can help readers avoid the guilt that often comes with decluttering. It also makes the process more sustainable, because people are more likely to continue when they feel their attachments are respected rather than dismissed. Fourthly, preserving memories without preserving every object. The book's logic suggests that memory does not have to depend on unlimited physical storage. This is a practical and philosophical shift. Many people keep objects because they fear that letting go of the item means losing the memory attached to it. Nilsson's model appears to address that fear by encouraging readers to preserve the story, meaning, or significance of an item without necessarily keeping the item itself. That distinction is useful because it separates sentimental value from material ownership. It allows readers to decide more carefully which objects deserve space and which memories can be retained in another form, such as through conversation, reflection, or family sharing. This makes decluttering less of an erasure and more of a reorganization of memory. The underlying implication is that meaningful lives do not require unlimited possessions, only intentional remembrance. That idea gives the book emotional depth while also supporting practical reduction. Lastly, reducing burden on loved ones and clarifying personal legacy. Another major theme is the effect of personal clutter on family members. The book positions decluttering as a form of future care, since belongings left behind can create stress, confusion, and emotional strain for survivors. This makes the process ethically significant rather than merely domestic. Readers are encouraged to think about how their possessions will be understood by others and whether those objects will communicate clarity or create work. In that sense, Swedish death cleaning is about legacy, but not in a grand or symbolic way. It is about making choices that leave behind order, readability, and less burden. That emphasis distinguishes the book from simpler organizing guides because it ties home management to intergenerational responsibility. The practical consequence is a more curated household. The deeper consequence is a more considerate relationship with the future. The method invites readers to see sorting as an act of care that extends beyond their own lifetime. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who feel emotionally stuck in decluttering, people who are preparing to downsize, and anyone who wants a calmer, more reflective approach to organizing a home. It will also appeal to readers who are less interested in extreme minimalism than in making thoughtful decisions about what deserves to stay. Its main benefit is that it combines structure with emotional realism. The 30-day framework gives direction, while the Swedish death cleaning philosophy acknowledges attachment, memory, and family impact. That combination makes it more humane than many decluttering books that focus mainly on speed or discipline. It also stands out by linking home organization to legacy and responsibility, which gives the process more depth than ordinary cleanup advice. Rather than presenting clutter as a personal failure, it treats it as a solvable part of life that can be approached carefully and respectfully. For readers who want practical order without emotional denial, it offers a distinctive and usable model. If you would like to support Elsie Nilsson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description.